being with you today for Faith, Family, and Freedom. What a privilege to be able to share some time with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules and allowing us to have part of that. If you'd like to remind a neighbor or friend, this might be the ideal time to do that. Over the past year, maybe 2 years almost, we've been doing an interview with Ed Henry and Karen Turk on Real America's Voice. We thought today it might be a good idea to share one of the more recent interviews. I hope that you are able to appreciate it. Let's go to that interview.
Still talking about faith and family right here every Monday morning. I understand you're in Indianapolis this morning. Good morning.
I am. I'm here at WHMB-TV, the station that I started with many, many years ago. They've been wonderful friends, and we appreciate what they've done to help us over the many, many years we've been here. And it's an honor to be on Real America's Voice with you and Karen today, Ed.
We appreciate it. Well, the station gave you a chance to start spreading your message, and we're proud to keep doing that right here at RAV. I know you were listening. We were talking about Joe Biden mm-hmm. getting that honorary doctorate, and you heard, I'm sure you've had some people give you some special prizes and awards. But for Joe Biden to get an honorary doctorate for his amazing intellect, that's got to take the cake, my friend.
Well, absolutely. It's I don't know where it is paradoxical or what, but Joe Biden, he will claim anything. He's the epitome of lying. I think if you look in the dictionary, his picture will come up when you hit liar. He loves to lie. I think there's something about a lie that really just enthralls him. He likes to think that he's pulling the wool over somebody's eyes, and that they're not smart enough to be able to detect it. What a joke, I'm telling you. The guy will claim anything, he'll say anything, and he'll do anything. Surely the American people see through this fraud. I hope they do.
It's a big difference from where we were with George Washington chopping down the cherry tree and not being able to tell a lie. And now we have a man that's just up there lying again and again and again. And this Howard University speech, they actually, Andrew Phipps said, sound analytical mind. I just want to repeat that. Sound being the predominant word. There's sound analytical mind about Joe Biden.
Well, Joe Biden, if you talk to him long enough, he would claim that he was in the cherry tree with George Washington. He doesn't care.
Right.
I mean, Karen, the man will say or do anything. I've never seen a character like him. I mean, he has no, I don't think he has any shame. You remember back in the McCarthy hearings, one of the attorneys finally asked Senator McCarthy, he said, have you no shame? I don't believe this Joe Biden has any shame. I don't know what you could do to shame him. I think it's beyond him. I don't know much about psychology, but this fella has real problems, but he doesn't know that he has real problems, evidently. I think he will claim anything.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think it was, have you no shame, have you no sense of decency, sir?
Right,
in those McCarthy hearings.
Yes, and it was.
It doesn't seem like there's no decency in going to a largely black audience and repeating this lie that white supremacy is our biggest threat to the American homeland.
Right, especially since we have African Americans on the Supreme Court and governors, senators, mayors, legislative bodies. I think most people want to heed Martin Luther King's advice that judge people on the basis of their character, not on their color, but on the content of their character. Most people, I think, see through this. I think the people there at Howard University must be kind of rubbing their heads thinking, what kind of a guy did we bring in here? And for him to be a professor, the guy couldn't teach... He couldn't teach mathematics to preschoolers. But he would claim that he was with Einstein, when he did the theory of relativity. He doesn't care. The guy absolutely. You can name anything, and he will say that he was with George Washington Carver. He will say that he was, marched in the 1920s. You know, a man that will claim that he gave his uncle a medal when the uncle had already died. That tells you the lows, the abyss that he will go to. I hope and pray that surely there's enough decency and common sense in America that they see through this guy. He says Hunter's the smartest guy he knows. But James Comer.
That might be true, though.
Because he's gotten away with so much. Is that why he's so smart?
Yeah, or maybe just Biden doesn't know a lot of smart people. Because if you look at his administration, Andrew, I would argue maybe Hunter is the smartest guy he knows. I'm not saying he's the smartest guy. I'm saying if you listen closely, the smartest guy Joe knows.
Yeah, well, but James Comer may take the mask off. I hope that we have enough insight that we can go through the legalese and this Department of Justice that has become politicized and the Attorney General and all of those. I hope that they can go through this weave of this morass and somehow come up with the truth. The American people need to know the truth. We have it, I believe.
Absolutely.
It's just getting it spread abroad.
You were mentioned a moment ago about people waking up. I want to show you this story that the Daily Mail put together from Chicago, of all places. The key here, maybe people are waking up, but are they? Okay, on one hand, people in a Chicago community where 97% voted for Biden are now reacting furiously after finding out that 500 migrants, as they're called, illegal immigrants, are heading their way. Some claiming they've been bumped off housing waiting lists. So maybe they're waking up. I would hedge that, Karen, because I don't think they'll vote Republican next time. They'll still keep voting for Biden, Harris, or whoever is put up. But they're speaking up. They're maybe waking up. Here's one woman who said, look, enough is enough with these illegal immigrants. Watch.
With these resources that have not come to us, now you want to overly compensate for people who never lived here before, and they need to be taken care of first and foremost before anything else happens here.
Yes. Why would any leader put our black communities, already riddled with crime, at further risk by placing unvetted non-taxpayers steps away from our seniors, our children, and our homes we've worked so hard on our own to secure?
We are at war, people.
That's right. Yes.
Our communities are at war. They are violating our communities, and we asking that we have, we across the country, and we asking and we're demanding for an office of black America, or whatever you want to call it, to deal with issues like this.
I did get placed on a wait list, but I was told that the immigrants was taking priority. That's a story that a lot of people don't know, and it hurt me. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I understand we need to be humanitarian, but these people are, that my participants are third and fourth generation Chicagoans, born, bred, fed, and raised here. My grandmother, Mayrella Carrington, rest in peace, always said, Craig, charity starts at home first, and then it go abroad.
Politically, having over 500 people in our community would completely wipe out any interest we have.
Many of these migrants have been dumped in our neighborhoods without a plan in place to monitor and house them long term.
I'm not selling nothing. And I keep telling people,
big
you don't
library
have to move. If you sell, they going to come in. If we don't sell, we got to stand strong.
That's right.
We just get started.
Move. I'm going to say it this way. Andrew said it a moment ago. I don't care about the color of your skin. Whether you're in a white neighborhood, black neighborhood, you're sick and tired of illegal immigrants of any background coming in and taking your resources. And this is what Donald Trump talked about. And when he did, he was a racist. Now this community in Chicago, oh, they're speaking truth to power. But they still vote Democrat.
Mm-hmm, they do. That's the scary part. I was saying, I can't believe there's not an uprising in New York right now. But look, at least it's happening in Chicago. People are speaking up.
Andrew, we've got 1 minute. This community voted 97% for Joe Biden, and look what they got.
Well, the hypocrisy, and I can sympathize with these folks being overrun in their communities and where they live, you know, but by the same token, it seems to be duplicitous and somewhat hypocritical that it's all right for them to come to Texas, down to that place. But we're starting to see that it's not so nice when you come to New York City or Chicago, Mayor Adams there. But if you take them down to McAllen, Texas, well, that's we want to be humanitarian. I see through that. That's being very hypocritical on the part of those people that are speaking. We can sympathize, but hey, let's apply the same philosophy to the people in Arizona that have to put their lives on the limb every day to protect their homes, their property, their children. I tell you what, we've got to get some common sense. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Karen, for having me.
Andrew, you bring us that common sense on Monday. It's an outrageous story. I'm glad these folks are speaking out.
Certainly enjoyed some good Southern gospel singing. Quartets, trios, family groups. Many, many years ago, I met Les Beasley and the Florida Boys. They had a saying that sand in their shoes and a song in their heart. About four, at least, of the original group are gone, but I still can appreciate the good singing, and I think this features maybe Glenn Allred, the baritone. The song simply says, "Welcome Home." if you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen. We've had many, many famous missionaries, so many that we could not enumerate each one, but the name Judson Taylor and China are almost interchangeable. Judson Taylor established a great missionary connection to China. And during the next few programs, we're going to be taking a little bit of the biographical material, sharing that with you. I think we ought to remember those that on whose shoulders we stand, those that took the gospel to the remote parts of the earth. I hope that you enjoy this one here that says, Into the Heart of the Dragon.
For James Taylor and his bride, Elizabeth Johnson, this was a day to remember and treasure. But it was also a day the result of which would eventually have a huge impact on millions of people in a land thousands of miles away, an impact which continues to this very day. The People's Republic of China is vast, with the world's largest population at 1.4 billion. Its economy is the second most powerful in the world. Steeped in rich history with great dynasties, it has remained remarkably insular down through the centuries. The Communist Party has ruled China since 1949. But despite state persecution, Christianity is growing at a phenomenal rate. It's estimated that there are up to 100 million Christians in China today. Staggering when you consider that just over 200 years ago, there was just one Protestant missionary in China. Since then, thousands of missionaries have entered China, their message influencing a whole nation for Christ. This story is about one of those early pioneer missionaries whose name has become synonymous with Christianity and China. James Hudson Taylor, the great-grandson of the man who was late for his own wedding.
Shall not the eternal interests of one-fifth of our race rouse us, spirit, soul, and body, to one mighty, unconquerable effort for China's salvation? Do you believe that each one of these millions has a precious soul, and that there is no other name whereby they must be saved than that of Jesus?
James Hudson Taylor's great grandfather.
Yes.
On the morning of his marriage. This is the church that he ran to.
Yes.
Ran because he was late.
Yes.
Left for his own wedding.
Yes. The oriel window, one of three in Britain. Mm. where James's friend would have been ringing the bell.
To give James time to run across the fields over there.
Because it was late for the wedding, coming rushing down this road.
We know that on the morning of his marriage, he was doing the usual things that people did in those days, getting the sheaf of corn in, the coal and the water.
Preparing the cottage, really, for his bride.
For his bride, yes, that's right.
But then something happened to him, didn't it? That he met his Lord. He fell to his knees. And on standing, he said, you know, as for me and my household, from this day we will follow the Lord. Yeah. And that has been the case ever since.
Been reflected throughout the family history, hasn't it? Of course, his bride, she did comment that he wasn't the same man that she knew when she married him. He had changed. And I don't know, perhaps she wasn't happy about that initially, but he worked on her as well, and eventually she also came to give her life to God.
The Hudson Taylor Group set up a trail in Barnsley to tell the story of Hudson Taylor, beginning with his great-grandfather, James Taylor.
It's here that Hudson Taylor's great-grandfather moved into Barnsley, and it was here that Hudson Taylor's grandfather, John, was born in this cottage here.
James Taylor was a storeman in Beckett's linen mill.
That's right, yeah.
And he was also a lay preacher.
And Barnsley at that time was quite a rough place, but it didn't, you know, he felt, you know, called to preach, which he did. On one occasion, was assaulted as far, you know, when he had ground glass mixed with mud rubbed into his eyes, which caused him his sight to go at one point.
Yeah. And that assault, of course, was seen by Beckett, the local magistrate, his employer, who asked whether he was going to charge the man. But because of his compassion, I guess, James Taylor said no, he wasn't going to.
James and Elizabeth Taylor led a group that built a chapel on Pinfold Hill to house the growing congregation that had started in their kitchen on Old Mill Lane.
And then, of course, they started with the Sunday school, didn't they? And a lot of the children from the street.
That was John, wasn't it? That was his grandfather. Hudson Taylor's grandfather who started the Sunday school.
Yes.
And apparently it grew so rapidly and so large that they had over 600 children on the
children.
Sunday.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Amazing.
Yes.
Can't believe that.
And it wasn't big enough, was it?
It wasn't big enough.
So they had to expand, which is brilliant when you think about it.
It is, indeed.
Yeah. Excellent.
As well as leading the Sunday school, John Taylor was a successful reed maker in the linen industry. His eldest son, James, at 19, became a local lay preacher like his grandfather. James also studied to be a pharmacist and opened a chemist shop in Barnsley. He married Amelia Hudson, the daughter of Reverend Benjamin Hudson.
This is where James Taylor established his chemist shop. And after his marriage to Amelia Hudson, they came and lived here above the shop. And of course, this was the birthplace of James Hudson Taylor.
James and Amelia Taylor started reading books on China and were burdened with the spiritual need of this great land. They began praying that if God gave them a son, the son might dedicate his life to China. On the 21st of May, 1832, God granted them their prayer for a boy, and they gave him both family names, James Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor's father would often read Peter Parley's Tales About China and the Chinese to him and his sister.
And he is recorded as saying, when I grow up, I mean to go to China. God is calling me to China.
And his mum and dad, I mean, we know that they had a lot of visitors, some of whom will have been missionaries.
They were involved, you know, by their parents in the conversation with all these visitors who came to their house.
They were getting a glimpse of the world outside Barnsley that a lot of other people wouldn't have had. And it was made the world seem an exciting.
Friends, I hope that you'll Remember the contact information on the screen that if you want to reach us. We'd be delighted to come into your area, into your neck of the woods, and do a Faith, Family, and Freedom program. I hope that you'll remind your neighbors and friends to join us whenever possible. We'll appreciate it and thank you. But until that special time, this is your friend, Andrew Phipps. Have a great day.